And I'm very happy now to welcome to the program David Ryan. He is the author of the book, The Gentle Art of Wandering. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Well, thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
This is a book which is not your typical book about hiking or being in the outdoors by any means. It's a very different kind of book because it's really about the type of awareness you have when you're outdoors. You have been wandering, quote-unquote, wandering all your life. First of all, what do you mean by that term?
Well, wandering, I guess it would be being present and connected when you're outdoors, which then opens yourself up to seeing, and that leads to discovery. So wandering would be a combination of seeing and allowing what you see set your course.
And you talk about or write about seeing with your entire body. What do you mean by that?
Well, if you think about, seeing, you can be focused and be searching, but if you can soften your eyes, quiet your active mind, because if you think about our active mind or ego, it wants to solve problems. It wants to be everywhere except here. And one of the things about seeing is being right here, right now. So it's really letting yourself, your entire body, notice what's around you. And when you can do that, you can just start spotting so many things that are different.
Now, when I saw the title of the book and read just the first couple of paragraphs, I thought, oh boy, this is going to be about meditation and walking meditation and things like that, which is fine. But it turns out that in your experience, I mean, awareness and multisensory awareness lead to things like amazing archaeological discoveries.
Right. And that's where I develop most of these ideas, is that I do some volunteering with the Bureau of Land Management in the Albuquerque office, and I go out to the backcountry to look for archaeology sites that are not recorded. I mean, the reality is in New Mexico, there's maybe 150,000 registered archaeological sites, but there's probably another 500,000 sites that have never been recorded. And in most of these sites, they're not Chaco Canyon or Pueblo Bonito. Most of them are just scatters of artifacts or maybe piles of rubble with some artifacts on it. So they don't just jump out at you, but they're out there if you allow yourself to see them.
There's a story where you were out walking and you saw what you thought was a jigsaw puzzle piece, and it was a 1,000-year-old fetish.
Yeah, and that was really spectacular because I found this in a valley, it's maybe 70 or 80 miles from Albuquerque, but it's probably one of the most remote places in New Mexico because you have to go on about 35 miles of dirt roads to get there, and all that's out there are some cows. And so I was following a cow path, and I went down in an arroyo, and when I crossed the arroyo, there was a ledge, and it had rained a couple of weeks before. So there were all these cow hoof prints in the ledge, and it had dried as hard as a brick. And I was walking along, and then all of a sudden from the corner of my eye, I saw something at the bottom of the hoof print. And that's where I talk about seeing with your entire body, because there was something different, and I looked down there, and I thought it was a jigsaw piece. And then I thought it might have been a piece from a board game. And then when I picked it up, it was this little pottery fetish. It was like a mole fetish or some kind of ground animal. And it was from 1,000 years ago. And this is if you think about this seeing with your entire body, there's no way I could have found that. If you had 100 people sweeping back and forth looking for things, there's no way you could find it. But just by having, my whole body engaged, it noticed something different. And that's part of seeing, is noticing what's different. Because if you think about when you go out, there's patterns. There's a type of vegetation, a shape to the land, certain kind of trees. Maybe the soil has a certain texture or reflectiveness. And so one of the things about seeing is noticing what breaks the pattern.
Right.
And that's how you find archaeological sites, because if you're walking along, all of a sudden you see a little obsidian flake or a little chert flake or a little potsherd or something, And these are different. They're not part of the they didn't grow out of the ground. Somehow they either washed in there or somebody dropped them there. And then once you start spotting that, then you can start looking, you know, for the source.
I think that's something you can cultivate, and I think to some extent it's also a gift. And I say that because I have a close friend who can find four-leaf clovers in every clover patch that she looks at immediately.
Yeah.
She
yeah.
sees them, and she just sees, oh, that one's different. And I can look all day, and I can't find them.
Yeah. Well, you know, one of the things I talk about in the book is that there's really sort of three aspects of seeing. You know, one is common sense, which we all have, that, you know, if you if you think in terms of an archaeological site, if you find a potsherd on the ground, if you just go uphill, you may find the source. The other is recognition, and that's just really a factor of knowledge, and that's something you can acquire more and more knowledge over time. But the last aspect, and which I call, for lack of a better word, is search image, and that's where you just have, where you sort of shut your ego down, so you're here right now, you're not solving all the problems that you messed up yesterday or what you're anticipating, you know, tomorrow. You're just right here, right now. And then as it's just you start noticing what's different. And it's like the four-leaf clovers. They're different than the three-leaf clovers. And so your friend has just more or less developed this search image to pick out the four-leaf clovers. And so I've gotten to the point where I can just sort of walk across the ground. Oh, there's a potsherd. Oh, there's a chert flake, because I'm seeing things that are different. But you don't have to go looking for archaeology sites. You can do this anywhere.
We're talking to David Ryan about his book, The Gentle Art of Wandering. So when you find artifacts, who do they belong to?
Well, they really belong to the land, because and so if you do go out there, you know, it is illegal to gather artifacts. They are protected by various legislation. And it's also better to just leave it where they are, because they really belong with the land. And for several reasons is that an artifact is part of the story of that land. And so that's where it belongs. But also somebody who has more knowledge than you may be able to find that artifact at some other time and be able to piece together what was there, because, you know, there are people who are experts in pottery and they could tell you, oh, well, this was made with this kind of clay from this type of era.
But did you keep the little fetish?
No, I left it there. It's in the ground.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, I mean.
But you do alert archaeologists.
Oh, yeah, because what I do is because I do volunteer work for the BLM, I turn in, you know, little memos saying, okay, this is what I found here, and you know, if it's something worthwhile, I'll take a picture of it. So I turn it over to them so they know what's on BLM land.
And you have also taken, basically alerted people who then go and they might do an excavation there or put it on a map or put it in books.
Yeah, they might. I mean, you know, the reality is there isn't too much archaeological excavation going unless somebody's going to run a pipeline or a highway through there. Then they'll get really serious about it. But more often than not, they like to know about things and then just sort of leave them there.
Now, the wandering that you do is not limited to the backcountry. You also do wandering in cities. And there's an extraordinary chapter on wandering in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
Where it turns out that there are all these public stairways that were built before the freeways that would allow people to get home from their trolley stops.
Yes, exactly. And I read about those stairways in Backpacker magazine a couple of years ago, and I said, well, I've got to check that out. So I went out there, and I started my trip in Los Angeles. I flew there, and then I took public transportation downtown, and I walked up this stairway that's right next to a funicular railroad called Angel's Flight. And when I got up to the plaza there, it was really weird, because here's this 1890, 1900 funicular railroad, and then here's this modern chrome and glass and pink granite plaza. And I walked through there, and then all of a sudden in the corner of my eye, I spotted something that looked familiar. And I took a closer look, and it was this massive sculpture made out of iron beams. And I said, that might be a Mark DeSubro sculpture. Now, I'm not an art expert, but I happen to be a very close friend with his sister who lives in Albuquerque. In fact, Mark DeSubro's brother lives here in the Santa Fe area.
Victor DeSubro.
Yeah, Victor DeSubro. And Mark DeSubro is like a Mick Jagger in the art world. And I saw this, and I said, boy, that looks familiar, because I know his sister. She had shown me books of his work. And I said, I got to check this out. And so I found the plaque, and sure enough, it was a Mark DeSubro sculpture. And I mean, if you need a definition of serendipitous, I mean, what are the chances of flying 800 miles to another city, taking public transportation downtown?
In a city that has so little public transportation.
Right. And then going up a stairway to a plaza that I didn't know existed and spotting a sculpture that I didn't know existed made by a brother of a very close friend of mine in Albuquerque. And so, and that's the nice thing about wandering is that you open yourself up to seeing all different kinds of things. And if you said, oh, well, I don't care about that, you're free to just keep on going. But if it does mean something to you, you can stop and take a look at it. And that's part of the aspect of wandering, is allowing what you see to set your course of direction. So when I went to Los Angeles, I didn't have any set route. I knew I was going to go downtown, and I knew I was going to go out to an area that was to the north and west of downtown Los Angeles. But I had no anticipation of that sculpture, and I saw that and spent some time there, and then I saw something else and just kept on going, and I did that for 2 days. And
it was amazing.
It might have been the best trip I've ever taken in my life, because everything was a surprise, one right after another. And so part of wandering is doing it on foot, that if I'd been on a driving trip to Los Angeles, chances are I would have been so frustrated with the traffic, I'd say, forget about it. I'm not going to look at the Angels flight. I'll do it some other time. But if you're not in your car and you just start walking, even a place like Los Angeles that is, you know, most of us just think of freeways and cars when we think of L.A., but if you get out of the car, it's just amazing.
You also talk about, I think it was Portland, where there's streets that end, yeah. But then there's unpaved pathways that you can walk along and full of, and these places you go are full of not only places that you would never see if you were in a car, but there's so much wildlife, even in the cities.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, my grandson, their house was on one of these unpaved streets, and they're never going to be paved. You know, some people have fixed them up, you know, have gardens in them. Others are just paths or overgrown. But we just started following the one near his house, and we ended up in this nature center that the city of Portland hasn't developed yet. And then we ended up along a creek that has a, you know, a bike path or, you know, a rail trail, and then another path. This, too, is part of wandering, is that you can just create these amazing routes by just taking advantage of what's right in front of you.
The book is called The Gentle Art of Wandering, and I feel like you've kind of made it into an art. It's not something that if the person just goes out on the first day, I've never wandered around before, I've always had a goal, and I'm going to go do that goal and get to the top of the mountain, and they say, okay, now I'm going to start wandering. It's not really necessarily that easy. You kind of have to get a feel for it.
Yeah. Well, you just you just start doing it is really what it comes down to. But I think the part of it, you know, in a sense, I mean, this is not a book about meditation, but this could be a very meditative activity because, you know, most of us have lives that are busy, that we're, you know, we're replaying what we did yesterday. We're anticipating tomorrow. So maybe setting up an activity like wandering is an opportunity for you to just pull away from that and then just be right where you are, right here, right now.
Yeah.
And so I think that's just something that people can develop over time where you just start realizing if you can quiet your mind, there's so much to see wherever you go. And
you become receptive to it.
Yeah, you become receptive. But also you start developing a sense of gratitude because you start realizing you're part of something bigger than yourself. You can start having some empathy with other people's experiences, and then you just end up, wow, I'm really lucky to be here, and I had nothing to do with it. All I'm doing is just noticing what's around and enjoying it.
You talk about, you write about corridors and creases. What are they?
Well, in the urban area, you'll have, well, corridors could be things like an abandoned railroad or an abandoned road. So these are corridors that go through urban areas where nature and wildlife can come in. And creases would be areas where, you know, they were cut off from development. You know, maybe they're near a river bottom or near a railroad, where all of a sudden here's a tract of land that is just inaccessible to development. And it's in those kind of, you know, corridors, like a rail corridor or a tract of land that couldn't be developed, that you could find nature in the middle of a city. Because when I went out to Los Angeles, they used to have a interurban railroad network called the Pacific Electric, and that was what's responsible for the spread out nature of Los Angeles, that these rail lines went everywhere. And that's all gone now. But there is this one neighborhood in Los Angeles that has lots of public stairs, and this corridor is still there, and it's like a canyon. And in fact, there's stairways going down into this canyon, because there would have been a trolley stop there at one time, you know, for people to take the Pacific Electric to their job. And those stairways too were corridors, because when I was going right here through a populated area of Los Angeles, I ran into a coyote right on a stairway. So, and as you went up the stairway, you know, parts of it were overgrown, so it was like a little jungle, and you could see the path, the tunnel that the coyote had made through all the bushes. And I'm sure that all the cats in the neighborhood are probably not there anymore. But
right.
But so that's where the creases and corridors come into play, is that the natural world can be right in the middle of a city.
And you find them, amazingly enough, even Manhattan.
Yeah. Yeah, because that was, you know, one of the things I showed was this example. You know, I took this walk around Manhattan that's done every year, and it, you know, this walk went through all these different areas and shortcuts, and in fact, there was this one area near Yankee Stadium. Across the river from Yankee Stadium, there used to be a ballpark where the New York Giants played before they went to San Francisco, called the Polo Grounds. Well, there's still, you know, there's like a wooded area, and there's a stairway that was built by the Giants to bring people from this neighborhood above the Polo Grounds down to the neighborhood. And so you can, you know, so as I say, you can find wherever you go, you can find some place to wander, to explore, to discover.
And one of the nice things is, on a lot of these wanderings, you can take your dogs and not your phone.
Yeah. Well, I do that all the time. I mean, I couldn't take the dogs with me to Manhattan, but when I go wandering in New Mexico, the dogs always come with me. And the phone is always left behind.
Nice. David Ryan is the author of the book, The Gentle Art of Wandering. And where can people pick up a copy of that book?
Well, the REI here in Santa Fe did have some copies. I don't know if they still have copies, but if they can't find them at the REI here in Santa Fe, they can always go to my website or to Amazon.
And what is your website?
It's gentleartofwandering.com.
gentleartofwandering.com. David Ryan, thank you so much for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
Well, thank you so much for having me. It was a lot of fun.
And I'd like to welcome back to the show Stephen Rubin. He is producing a monthly variety show. This month it's called Jules Works Follies. And Felix Cordova, who is hosting the show this month, welcome, gentlemen, to the Radio Cafe.
Thanks again, Mary Charlotte.
Thank you.
So this is happening this Sunday, the 26th of August, at 7 o'clock at the Warehouse 21 Black Box Theater. And every month you've got almost like a kind of grab bag of different types of shows that people are doing.
Yeah, this one, the overall show is much more literary. It's just kind of whatever people present and or that comes to me or whatever. So this one has just turned out to be a lot of people that had poems and stories. So the only thing that I've kind of made clear and we'll have to make clear during the show with perhaps a cue is that it's got to be 3 to 5 minutes for most people. And most of them I'm going to have do one in each act. So I think the pacing and rhythm of this show will be great.
Very interesting. So it's mostly literary, but not only. I mean, you've got some poets. You've also got a piece called Belly Dancers Who Love Unicorns and Melancholy.
Yes, that's going to be some dancing with music, two short pieces, I think. So, yeah, it's not just literary, meaning poetry and stories. And then one of the Andrew Cryptic is going to be doing his poetry with some music, and Tone Forrest, who was the host last month, is back, and he's going to be doing some reciting some well-known African-American poets and Robert Frost to music.
Nice.
So it's actually going to be some experimental stuff. And then there's the Jules Works. We've been doing our short play reading each month, and then new short play read that Trent Zulazny wrote. So.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah.
And so are you, Stephen, also, your middle name is Jules, which is why it's called Jules Works. Are you also performing?
Yeah. Well, I've been in and I'm still in the short Jules Works reading, and I'm also, I get to be one of the two actors in Trent Zelazny's short play, which is a great script. So, yeah, I get to be in it too.
And Felix Cordova, you're hosting the whole thing.
Yep.
What's involved with that?
Well, I'm not really sure. This is my first time doing it. Jules came to me through a friend, and they asked if I would do it since I've DJed around town, and I guess I'm pretty popular downtown. So they just need someone.
What kind of DJing do you do?
I call it party facilitating because I don't really mix. I like to make a show, a spectacle of things, you know.
What does that mean? Like, what kind of spectacle? Is there a visual element to it?
Nah, I just pretty much embarrass myself. You know, I take off my shirt and dance around and try and get people to dance and have fun instead of, I try to get people active instead of just, focusing on the music. I focus on the people.
Right.
Very interesting.
Shirt maybe stay on, but getting people involved, that'll be great. That's the idea of the host is, especially with so much variety, is a common thread for the audience in between each act. And the fact that Felix is a big, great personality will really, that's the idea. It's not just someone to get up there and say, and next we have, the idea is if we're changing set or something funny happens, is that he can hold the audience's attention, and if one of the acts doesn't go over great, then Felix can show up to sort of smooth that. So the host is a fun role.
We're not going to take the shirt off the table, though, I will do whatever people want.
If he takes off the shirt, it will be on the table.
Yeah.
If they're calling for the shirt to come off, then.
Only if they call for it.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, you will have to show up to find out about the shirt. But how's it been going the last? We've had you on, I think, most of the times that you've, right before you do the variety show. How's it going over?
This is the fifth month, and it's been tough. 30 to 40 people. Hopefully, we'll have a few more. It's just hard. We hadn't had a consistent day. I think Sunday at 7 actually does work best. And then we're actually, I don't think we're going to be able to do it at Warehouse 21 anymore just because of their schedule and all the shows they do. It's hard to get a date that's consistent.
Uh-huh.
And also just, covering all their costs. So anyways, hoping to find a new venue that will, be
super consistent.
Great and consistent. And some people have a misconception in my mind that everything at Warehouse 21 is strictly teen oriented, so our show isn't a teen event, but it isn't not a teen event.
It's open to teens,
open,
but it's got adults in it. Adults come to it.
Yeah,
all ages.
And I love Warehouse 21 and what they do, but it is sometimes people. Oh, okay,
Right.
Unfortunately.
And you're always looking for new performers, poets, dancers, whatever, musicians.
Poets, dancers, musicians. We do have Cynthia Becker singing this time with Tone Forrest, but I'm always looking for more musical acts. We have two stand-up type numbers, too, this time. So, So it'll be a good mix.
I love stand-up.
Yeah, it'll be fun. This is meant as a venue. Hopefully we can attract some performers that have a big name, folks like Tone that have been doing it in town a long time, and give an opportunity either for performer to do something they haven't done or for people that haven't performed much. Tom Sibley has been writing his comedy for a long time, but he's only performed one other time. So, and that's part of why keeping the act short makes a big difference,
Exactly. Stephen Rubin is producer of Jules Works Follies, which is a monthly variety show at Warehouse 21 this Sunday, the 26th of August at 7 in the evening. Tickets are very, very low priced, and Felix Cordova is going to be the host man about town. And great to have you both on the air, and we look forward to seeing you on Sunday.
Thank you so much, Mary Charlotte.
Thank you very much.
And I'd like now to welcome Diane Karp. She's executive director of the Santa Fe Art Institute, and she is with us many Fridays speaking of the arts. Welcome.
Good morning, Santa Fe. Good morning, Mary Charlotte. It's a pleasure to be here.
And speaking of the arts, can I just speak of the cats?
I think cats comes before arts in this program, even though it comes after arts in the dictionary.
And then there's dogs, but we don't have any dogs right now.
We don't like cats before dogs.
I before E. This week's featured cat of the week is Delta. She's a sweet and playful young kitty girl, and she's very pretty, and she has medium-length coat and a dilute calico marking of peach and gray and white, which form an unusual patchwork pattern. And she is with Felines and Friends. If you would like to adopt Delta or any other cat, you can call 505-316-2281, and you can go to Ask Feline. You can write to askfelinesandfriends@yahoo.com.
And if you're not in the mood to adopt a cat, and you are in the mood to adopt some art, there are some amazing art openings tonight.
And now, speaking of the arts, really beautiful.
At Gerald Peters Gallery, they've got an exhibition up called Singular Visions, which is watercolors by three artists, Harold Greger, Keith Jacobs Hagen, and Suzanne Siminger, at the receptions from 5 to 7. There's another wonderful opening of paintings by Peter Harrington. It's a kind of mixed media event, work by Mary Andrews, and both of these exhibitions open from 6 to 8 at Margie Gallery over there on Water Street. They've been doing some really interesting exhibitions. But most importantly for me in terms of art openings tonight, the Santa Fe Arts Commission has created an open call exhibition. The Art Institute has done an open call every year since I've arrived. But the idea of not jurying, of simply allowing all the talented artists in Santa Fe to bring work that they would like on exhibition.
What about the untalented artists?
There are no untalented artists. Let's get real here. An open call is a way of showcasing the talent that might not be the taste of a particular juror. And usually the work, all in all, is pretty darn sweet. So if everyone can go down to the Santa Fe Arts Commission Community Gallery today between 5 and 7, it's a group exhibition called Common Ground. I think someone said that 500 artists submitted work.
Oh, my goodness.
But that may be an exaggeration. It should be a really wonderful evening. And if you're not in the mood for art, and you are in the mood for music and dance and theater, it's a great weekend. Tonight begins the Friday, Saturday, Sunday 38th Annual Santa Fe Bluegrass and Old Time Music Festival out there on the Santa Fe County Fairgrounds down at 3229 Rodeo Road. There are weekend passes, there are day passes. Head to southwestpickers.org to see all the information, or there's a really, really nice article in PASA this week.
Excellent. Now, let's talk for a second about some of the things that I've actually had on the show. At the Tamarind Institute, there is the closing reception tonight of an exhibition that's going to be up for another week called Afro, Black Identity in America and
Yes.
Brazil. And we did a little show about that earlier in the week.
The Tamarind Institute is a lithography center,
Yeah.
a print center down at the University of New Mexico that does amazing work.
They really do.
Another really wonderful thing that starts on Friday and will run all the way through the 9th of September is What the List Missed, the absolutely undeniably, certifiably true story of how New Mexico became a state. And it's the Santa Fe melodrama. It's quite wonderful. It's the annual Fiesta melodrama, so it's poking fun at Fiesta and at New Mexico history. There's a reception at 6:30 tonight. The curtain comes up at 7:30. It's at the Santa Fe Playhouse down tucked away on DeVargas Street, which is such a sweet venue.
It's a very nice place.
It's a sweet venue, so I recommend it highly. If you can't get there tonight, don't worry. It's running through the 9th of September. And another thing that's going on tonight that starts is called Full Circle, We're All Related. It's singer-songwriter Shelley Morgansong's musical featuring a whole bunch of gifted local Santa Feans. And that's up at the Lodge and will run till September 2nd.
Now, I want to also mention that the new Albuquerque Latin Festival, Latin music
yes.
and dance and everything, I think the opening party was last night, but it goes
yes.
all through the weekends with all kinds of dance classes and dance parties and dance films and music films and it should
and
be
music and classes
music.
And performances.
Yeah, everything. And not to be missed if you have any inclination whatsoever toward Latin dance and music. And then tonight at the Lensic, John Kloss, who was on, was telling us about Stepology, which was a tap dancing festival.
Yes.
Which is at 7:30 at the Lensic tonight. So lots of good stuff.
And it's also on Saturday. So it's Friday and Saturday. And it's John Kloss, and he's been teaming up with Elise Gent from the West African Dance
yeah.
Group over at the Rail Yard. There's just an amazing amount going on. David McDonald is going to be discussing and signing copies of The Last Great Ape, Journey Through Africa and a Fight for the Heart of the Continent at Collected Works today at 6 p.m. And very exciting, Lois Rudnick, who
yes.
moved here from Boston, who is a biographer and an art commentator and critic, has been working for years on a big project on Maybelle Dodge.
Maybelle Dodge Lujan.
Maybelle Dodge Lujan, exactly. And Maybelle Dodge was one of those characters who moved here to New Mexico, settled up in Taos, and really began a series of salons and community activities that built both the literary and the arts community in the early part of the 20th century. And she left an enormous volume of letters and writing that was published a long time ago. But the family asked that they not talk about a secret, a family secret, which was
namely
not...
Namely that all her husbands had, except for the first one who died 10 seconds after they got married, or
and we don't know if he did, but
yeah,
it was a matter of
syphilis. All the rest of them had syphilis.
But it was really a part of the landscape through Europe and through the U.S. As we moved out of the Victorian era and into a more liberated time, syphilis spread even more. But syphilis has been a part of human history since the 15th century, and
right.
probably since the 13th century, because we can go back and find images from medieval history where a soldier or a landsman or someone who would be moving from community to community was represented as a skeleton, because they were understood to be the carriers of death, and that was syphilis.
So
she's going to be speaking. Yeah, she's going to be speaking about the book tonight at 5:30 at the St. Francis Auditorium. There is no charge. I recommend anyone who has a little bit of time.
Why do I think it was at the New Mexico History Museum?
Is it at the? It says in the PASA that it's
okay.
at St. Francis.
I'll look it up and double
okay.
check.
It may be at the New Mexico History Museum. It's the New Mexico Museum of Art
oh,
that's representing
right,
it, not the New Mexico.
It's the New Mexico.
Yeah.
Forget
so I think
I
it's at St. Francis.
You're
no,
right.
That's why we're here. That's why we help each other. It's good. It's good.
So tomorrow morning at the Santa Fe Farmers Market, Collected Works hosts Santa Fe School of Cooking founder Susan Curtis, who will sign books and discuss the new venue of this important Santa Fe company. That's from 9 to noon. And then on Saturday at 4 o'clock, Collected Works presents Santa Fe artist Mary Mito and the author of a new book by the same name, Dr. Arden Reed. He's a professor of English at Pomona College. And let's see.
Arden is not only the professor of French literature at Pomona College. He's been writing on contemporary art for 10 years now, and has done some really, really marvelous and essential work working on the idea of slow art and the time it takes to understand it.
Right.
So I recommend that one highly. That was on my list as well.
And then on Monday at 6 o'clock at Collected Works, Elizabeth West launches the book that we talked about also this week, Santa Fe, 400 Years, 400 Questions. And she will be in conversation with another fabulous Santa Fe author, Penn Lafarge, and copies of the books will be available. And on Thursday evening, Doug Fine has a new book. He's the author of Farewell, My Subaru. And he has a new book called Too High to Fail, Cannabis and the New Green Revolution, ladies and gentlemen. And then finally, one more literary event. Pamela McCorduck is going to be talking about her new book, her new novel, which is very, very nice, very good book, called Bounded Rationality. And that's at Garcia Street Books from 2 to 3 tomorrow.
Yes.
And it's the second in a Santa Fe trilogy.
That's right.
Which has kind of science and philosophical themes.
And history, and very strong sort of personalities. Another thing that's going on, and I'm going to take everybody back to my compulsion, which is order. On Saturday...
Oh, we're going chronologically?
On Saturday, there's the Ambient Showcase. And it's Ted and Tracer, Radir and Watson, 6 to 9 p.m., in conjunction with CCA's wonderful exhibition, Be It, which is at the Munoz Waxman Gallery, CCA over there on Old Pecos Trail. So bring pillows, bring mats, get ready to partake in what is going to be a wonderful evening of art and music.
Excellent.
Another interesting thing going on Saturday is at the New Mexico History Museum Auditorium. It's the Santa Fe Indian School, which presents the premier screening of the documentary film about its world-acclaimed, award-winning, fabulously talented spoken word program.
Oh, that's I'm so glad you're announcing this.
6 p.m., New Mexico History Museum Auditorium on Saturday evening. Well worth coming out to support them and to partake in this marvelous film called Moccasins and Microphones, Modern Native Storytelling Through Performance Poetry.
And one more event on Sunday at Collected Works Bookstore. At 11 in the morning, there is a presentation by Journey Santa Fe called Forest Restoration, Simple, Complex, or Both. And KSFR radio host David Bacon is going to be there. He's involved with the issues. Concerned citizen Jan Boyer will be there for the conversation. And a lot of very interesting questions. So that's Saturday morning at 11.
Great. That's on Sunday morning.
That's what I meant.
At 11.
I'm pre-caffeinated, huh?
It's okay. That's why we're here. We're all here together to help each other get clear.
Listen to her, not me.
Also on Sunday, the Santa Fe Community College School of Arts and Design Visual Arts Gallery is going to be presenting a really interesting exhibition of American ceramics. It's called Global Interface in American Ceramics. It's a wonderful ceramic program they have over there. It's also a marvelous exhibition space. So I recommend that you guys get over there. It opens at 10 a.m. on Sunday. It'll be open until 5. That's the reveal of the new exhibition. But it will be up through September 21st. So folks have lots of time to get over there and see it. Another thing that's happening on Sunday is outdoors. It's the New Mexico Sunflower Festival. There are hayrides, there's food, there's art, there's music. It runs from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. at Peña Blanca. So you go out on U.S. Interstate 25. You can get off around Cochiti and Santo Domingo Pueblo. There'll be signs there. It's $1 a person for adults, and kids are free. And it's a wonderful, wonderful experience of the Santa Fe landscape that I recommend highly.
Heidi Lowen has a show called To Honor South Korea, 8 Golden Trigrams, and she worked with the people of Incheon, South Korea. I'm not sure if you say that right, but Santa Fe and this other city were both designated creative cities by UNESCO, and they have had a kind of sharing and lots of different cultural exchange going on, and that particular event is today from 5 to 8 at the Heidi Lowen Porcelain Gallery, which is right close to the plaza. It's at 315 Johnson Street in Santa Fe.
It's at the corner of Johnson and Galisteo, and Guadalupe, if I'm not mistaken.
That's right.
At the galleries, there are still some amazing exhibitions up worth seeing. Addison Rowe Fine Arts has Joseph Bakos and his circle, paintings by the artist who died in 77. And they are groups, all members of Los Cinco Pintores, up through September 7th. Chiaroscuro has the work of Emmy Whitehorse, remarkable local painter, and Rose B. Simpson, who is a gifted young Native artist.
Yes, indeed.
That's up through September 8th. James Kelly Gallery has the work of Robert Kelly, beautiful, serene, powerful, abstract work. Jane Sauer Gallery has the work, beadwork of Terry Greaves, and furniture designs by Dennis Esquivel. Also, Animology, which is mixed media by Jeff Gorman, all worth going over and seeing. Karen Rulin Gallery has The Abstract, New Mexico's Own, which is a group show that'll be up through August. And lastly, William Siegel Gallery has Pathways, Silent Collaborations, which is new work by Judy Tualatz-Stewa.
And I got a note from Melinda Silver saying she's got acrylic paintings that are part of a show at the Red Dot Gallery called From the Ground Up, and that's at 826 Canyon Road, right east of El Farol today from 5 to 8.
It's way up north on Canyon Road. That's great. Two or three other things that I just want to mention is the Be It site-specific installations at the Munoz Waxman Gallery at CCA, the Museum of Contemporary and Native Arts, which has some of the most powerful and beautiful exhibitions, really stretching the limits of what we expect to see in a Native museum. It's work that is so contemporary and so meaningful. It's one of the most exciting exhibition spaces in Santa Fe. Get over there. There are five or six different exhibitions. And if you didn't get to see the fashion show that was up during Indian Market, guys, you have missed something phenomenal. So I just have to give a hats off to Patsy Phillips and to Ryan Rice, who have turned the Museum of Contemporary Native Arts into a world-class museum.
I love it.
The other thing that you might want to get out there and see is out at the Poe Museum. It's an exhibition called 3D, Na Po Meng, The Continuous Path, which is an installation tracing the story of the Tewa people. And it is beautiful. And if you've not gotten out to the Poe Center, make it a trip. And last reminder, Site Santa Fe's exhibition, Mo Real, is still up and definitely worth a visit.
Excellent. And selected works on paper, the Flat File Show, with work by Eliza Naranjo Morse, Eve Andre Laramie. Did you read this already?
No, go for it. That's
She's looking at me like...
Perfect. Like no, take it.
Mary Shirley is still not caffeinated. Greta Young, Lara Nickel, and Erin Lynn Forrest. And so this is at Axel Contemporary,
yes,
which is the mobile gallery that you see around town. And there's not going to be an opening reception, but it's August 28th through the 9th of September. You can go to axelart.com for daily location information. So it will come by close to you if you live in the sort of greater Santa Fe area.
And it's one of the wonderful things. You know, we have fabulous museums, but often it gets busy in life and you don't get into town. There's a large segment of our community who never take advantage of our museums, whether they don't feel welcome or they're expensive is not really the issue. But certainly, Axel Contemporary is an always free, free-roaming exhibition that takes the art into the neighborhoods, and it is extraordinary. Hats off to Matt Chase Daniels and
Jerry
Wellman.
The Santa Fe Water Awareness Group is having another meeting, a second meeting, I guess, on Wednesday the 29th of August in Tasuki. It's a potluck at the home of one of the members, and they want to talk about a communal vision of a world of clean, pure, and healthy water available for all life and systems to flourish. The potluck is at 5:30. The meeting starts at 6:30, and for more information and directions, contact Raphael at area code 575-770-1228. Or write to healingthescars@gmail.com.
Excellent. Another really interesting exhibition is down in Albuquerque, and it's an exhibition at the African American Performing Arts Center and Exhibit Hall. And the exhibition of photographs and ephemera and some other associated materials is called Working on the Rails, African Americans and Domestic Train Service. And it is beautifully installed. It's really a fine exhibition, worth the trip.
Silence.
Well, I got the last thing that I want to talk about is on Sunday, August 26th at La Posada Resort and Spa, we're going to have, just gracing our presence, one of the most remarkable voices. Singer Lisa Henry is going to be performing with the Burt Dalton Trio, and
Yay.
This is a benefit for the New Mexico School for the Arts. It is the statewide school that is supporting gifted and talented young people from our state in the visual arts and the performing arts, and it's being presented by Friends of Santa Fe Jazz and Santa Fe Pro Musica to raise some funds to support this fabulous, fabulous school. So Sunday, if you're up for it, 6 p.m. at La Posada, and you can hear the fabulous voice of Lisa Henry in concert with in performance. She's innovative, and the scat is fantastic.
The scat is fantastic, she
fantastic
said.
Scat, yes indeed.
So CCA, Cinematheque, and they've got hit documentaries, Ai Weiwei, Never Sorry, and Queen of Versailles continuing. Never Sorry tells the gripping tale of the man named the most influential artist in the world.
Well, at this point, he is. Well, the film has been out for a while. It's really powerful. It's about the artist Ai Weiwei. And you will remember that he's an artist who lives and works in China and has created work that is critical of the government and critical of global arts structures.
So in that sense,
that dissent is the most powerful voice of democracy. In China, dissent, not so welcome. And so Ai Weiwei...
Oh, like it's welcome here?
Well,
did
I'll
you hear
tell
democracy
you.
Now yesterday?
Yes, I did. But the point, and the point is never to get smug. Dissent is the voice of democracy, and we need to keep it strong. But in nations like Syria or in nations like China, dissent is absolutely forbidden, as in Russia. And Ai Weiwei has been bucking the government for a long time. And people might remember that as he was coming back to Beijing last year, he was arrested.
Right.
And he was put in jail, and he was kept there because of his criticism of the Chinese government.
So
this film, which is quite charming, was made... The story is quite charming. A young woman from the U.S., took her camera and went over just to follow him around for a while before all of the real sort of hoo-ha had been kicked up. And she created this beautiful documentary of Ai Weiwei, getting full access from the Chinese government to follow him.
So that is at the CCA, as are many other fine films. And don't forget the screen. The screen, I don't know, I don't have their email open, but they've got great stuff too.
I have to tell you, I was in New York and Philadelphia, and the quality of the first-rate films that you can see at CCA and at the screen is remarkable.
Okay.
We are so fortunate. Everybody's got to go out and support them.
You've been listening to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. Thank you so much for listening to KSFR, Santa Fe's only public radio station. And Diane,
one of the best stations in the U.S.
In the galaxy.
In the universe. Forget just our galaxy.
That's right. Any galaxy. Well, I don't know. I don't want to be too presumptuous.
Well,
there might be other galaxies.
I give you permission.
That have their own Diane.
Their own radio station with Mary Charlotte DeMondi.
We're sitting in, well, you know, if it's infinite, there's a good chance. But anyway, we are streaming live on the web at ksfr.org, podcasting at santafe.radiocafe.org, thanks to Dot Foil Computer Services. You can subscribe to this show on iTunes. You can find us at facebook.com/radiocafemc. My email address is radiocafe@ksfr.org. Please write to me. I love getting comments. I love getting critical feedback and hellos and anything like that. Stay tuned for the BBC, followed by local news by KSFR's award-winning news team, then jazz. Thank you, Mary Lynn. Adios.
Adios.